Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. Psalm 107. Actually, the book of Psalms are God's people in the Old Testament hymn book. That's what they are. We don't know what exactly they sounded like. Jewish people did not rhyme like we do today. Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. They didn't do that. Jewish poetry was based on parallel thoughts. So often in a verse, you'll have the first part of the verse state something, and the second part of the same verse will state it in just a slightly different way. That's how they did it. That's called repetition. And in Jewish thinking, if you want people to learn something, guess what you do? You repeat it. And so in Jewish teaching, they would often repeat slightly different way, and that was their poetry. And in this, there are four cycles to this psalm, and I've got good news for you. Part of Thanksgiving is I can't get through all of these verses, and I'm not going to try. But there are three Thanksgiving psalms that stood out in the history of Israel. Psalm 106, 107, and 108. These were considered the great Thanksgiving psalms of the nation. And you know what's special about Psalm 107? How many of you know what we celebrated on Thursday? And no, it wasn't Football Sunday. We celebrated Thanksgiving. Did you know that Psalm 107 has a special place to 1620, December the 10th, 1620, when the pilgrims arrived outside of Plymouth Rock? Do you remember the history that we were taught about how the pilgrims arrived? I want to tell you the story of the pilgrims, but Psalm 107 was used by William Bradford, who was the head of that colony, when they got there. And the history of Thanksgiving Psalms goes back to Leviticus. And I just want to mention briefly, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 7, Thanksgiving Psalms were big in Israel. Here's what you would do. According to Leviticus 7, here's what you do. If God blessed you, please keep this in mind because this psalm held special attention to the pilgrims. If God blessed you, here's what you do in Israel. They had a Thanksgiving offering. Now today, what do Gentiles do at Thanksgiving offerings? They take a collection. Money grubbing. We don't do that. They actually had a Thanksgiving offering of literally a thankfulness in Israel. Here's what you do. You'd go up to the tabernacle. How many of you remember Wednesday night where they moved the tabernacle, tried to get it up to Jerusalem, and Uzziah's breach. Remember that? Uzzah's breach. And he touched it. Remember we were talking about that. Well, it eventually, Ark got up to Jerusalem, but they left that old tabernacle at Shiloh and they built the temple. But they had a habit in Israel. If God had done something wonderful for you, if you had been prospered in some way, you would go up to the temple or the tabernacle. You would bring food, and in this case, probably you would take a lamb that was alive or a goat or some type of cattle. You would bring it up there on hoof with all the trimmings, and at the tabernacle, the priests would help you slay the sacrifice. Then you'd have a barbecue of the sacrifice and invite all of your family, your friends, and the poor to participate in a Thanksgiving celebration at the tabernacle before the Lord. And that's what this is here in Psalm 107. It is a psalm that says thank you to God. And there is a cycle in this psalm that I'm going to talk about. But let's get back to the pilgrims. This psalm had special place in the life of the pilgrims that came to this country. Let me tell you, William Bradford, in writing about their landing at Plymouth Rock on December the 10th, 1620. Can you imagine going to Plymouth Rock in December? Who's from Massachusetts? Would there be someone? December. And by the way, I believe, if I'm correct, at this time historically, the sun was going into a maunder minimum, which means it was cooling. We're about, they say, in 2030, the predictions are, the models are, believe it or not, there's not global warming, there's going to be global cooling. And the sun is losing its sunspots, and when the sun doesn't have sunspots, guess what happens to the temperature of the earth? Drops. If I remember correctly, 1645 to 17-something was the 1640. So the sun is going down in its activity. It just doesn't stop like that. It takes time for it to get to that minimum. And that winter, they arrive. 1620, there they arrive, and it's about to be the winter solstice, the coldest time of the year. What would motivate people? Now today, you want to go to England, to America, you get on a 777. You then, I don't fly first class, I fly coach, but nonetheless, they feed you, and in a couple of hours, 4 or 5 hours, you were there. The pilgrims took 65 days on an open ocean in a little boat. You could put probably three of them, at least two of them in this room. And they stuffed everybody into those boats. What would motivate people? Well, William Bradford said this when he wrote about the pilgrims. I'm quoting him now in his account. May not and ought not the children of these fathers, that is something that you're going to learn, the children of these fathers, those fathers died that first winter. So he's talking about, shouldn't the children of these fathers who died say this? Here's what they say. Our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness. Why in the wide world would you go how many thousands of miles from England to an unknown wilderness in Massachusetts? What would motivate you? They cried out to the Lord. He heard their voice. He looked on their adversity. And then he starts quoting this psalm. Let them therefore praise the Lord because he is good. His mercies endure forever. That's a direct quote from Psalm 107. Yet let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how he has delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. Who is the oppressor to these precious pilgrims? Well, we'll get there, but some of you remember history. When they wandered in the desert, wilderness, out of the way, and found no city. What is the wilderness to these pilgrims? I'll bet you don't know the answer to that one. Holland. And found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty. Their souls were overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord his loving kindness and his wonderful works before the sons of men. That's exactly what he said, quoting this psalm. This psalm always meant so much to them because he's referring to the fact of the landing of the pilgrims. Now, let me just tell you about the landing of the pilgrims. They landed on Sunday, December the 10th, 1620, 105 years after Luther's Reformation. Guess what Luther caused? A Reformation, but guess what had not happened? Freedom of worship. They had a Reformation, but they had no freedom of worship. When they got there, they had broken away from the Church of England. You know what the Church of England is? It's one divorce away from Roman Catholicism. Henry VIII needed a divorce, wanted one. Pope said no. Henry started his own church. But guess what? Once you have your own church, everybody has to conform, huh? And the pilgrims wanted to worship the way we do today in freedom of worship. The pilgrims would have great commonality with us today. But in those days, the Church of England said, you will not worship in the way you worship. You will conform to the Church of England. They wanted to complete the work of the Reformation, of freedom of worship and preaching the Word of God. By the way, do you know what happened to people who preached the Word of God in the native language of people before the pilgrims? Do you know what happened? They burned them at the stake. How many times have I told you in church, religious people are? There's an example of it. You put the language of the Bible in the native tongue of people, and what do those crazy people do? Burn them, because it's called control. The pilgrims wanted to complete the work of the Reformation. Their sole authority was not the church. Their sole authority was the Bible. Today, that wouldn't seem strange to at least some of us, would it? But in those days, that was radical. How dare you, just the Bible? Why, it's church tradition that you have to... Forget church tradition. They wanted to honor the Word of God. Were they wealthy? No. Most of them were farmers. No or little education. And had absolutely no political standing. Think of today, ladies and gentlemen. I think one of the greatest evils is Christians have relied on politics and not the new birth experience to transform their country. If you hope in a political party, they will fail you. And the reason why you see in today's politics outsiders in one party is because the party itself has failed the grassroots. That's why you're seeing different people arising and no one wants the traditional candidates, because they'll promise you anything, and when they get in, guess what they'll do? What the elites want them to do. They had no political standing, and the Lord can use that. They had been driven from their home. And because they were poor, no standing, they ended up escaping England for Holland. Holland was very liberal in the day. They would let the pilgrims worship as they wanted, but guess what? Holland wouldn't give them political standing. They were the Syrian refugees of today. Boy, that'll shake you up. Isn't history repeating itself? They fled England to be able to worship freely. How much we have taken for granted in America, and we're losing this privilege, because as they shoot up the abortion clinics, which is terribly wrong, but two wrongs don't make a right, yes? They on CNN and other places are blaming Christians for it when we had nothing to do with it. And what that's going to produce is a horrific pushback against people who would never do such things. Good is being turned into evil in this country and evil into good. That's what happened to the pilgrims. The pilgrims were often put in prison for being dissenters. Now that's my kind of people. They didn't go with the flow. They dissented. They said, we will not go with the Church of England. We will worship in our way. Small groups tried to escape, but they imprisoned them in England. Can you imagine? Here is what it's described. Bradford tells what happened to these precious people in England. Listen to this. When they discovered the pilgrims, by the way, they weren't called pilgrims in England. They loved to call themselves saints, But here is what England, jolly old England, would do to the pilgrims before they came to America. The men were arrested and separated from their wives and children. He quotes this, "Pitiful it was to see the heavy case of these poor women in this distress." Suppose your husband was arrested for wanting to worship God freely. Well, England threw them into jail. Women were weeping. Children were crying on every side as their husbands were carried away. Others not knowing what should become of them and their little ones. What do you do when the father is carried away? Where do the moms and the kids find food and shelter when their husbands have been placed in British jails? Little ones crying, melting in tears, seeing their poor little ones hanging around moms, crying for fear, quaking in the cold. Being thus apprehended, they were hurried from one place to another and from one justice to another. Till the end, they knew not what to do with them. In other words, they were sent from jail to jail, imprisoned. The kids without fathers, wives without husbands. This is what these precious people faced. In England. So they fled to Holland. But because of the economic difficulties, the Holland area was liberal socially, but they would not let these farmers have any standing. They decided to come to America. They set sail in 1620. They crossed in late fall. From what I understand, in late fall, the ocean is the most turbulent. 65 days on the ocean in a little boat. You could fit two or three of them in this. They landed in Cape Cod. You know what they did when they landed? They didn't disembark. You know what they did? They held a worship service on that Sunday. And then on Monday, the 11th, they disembarked. They didn't even own the Mayflower. They rented it. It was a rented car, Avis. They didn't have adequate food and water. There wasn't enough for them. They lost weight from the journey. Winter was at hand when they landed. They constructed shelters as quickly and as best as they could. The first winter was the hardest that had been seen in that area. They didn't have enough time to grow food. All they had was what they could scrap together. Do you know what Bradford called that first winter there? The starving time. The starving time. Disease soon hit the colony. Why? Well, if you don't eat right, your immune system doesn't operate right. They got sick. Now get this. If it wasn't for their religious devotion and their trust in God, they would have abandoned and gone back to England. 102 people arrived on those boats. Four of the 102 died on the journey over on the ocean. Half of them died the first winter. Now, you've got to understand what's motivating these people. What is motivating these people? They wanted to worship God freely. How much we take for granted. And I'm telling you something, Christian, as much as I don't want to be negative, they're coming for us. You cannot watch the news media as they portray Christians without that having an impact on people and what they think about Christians. And sometimes Christians don't help themselves the way they act. The first winter, after four died on the trip of the 102, 13 of the 24 heads of families died in that winter. 20 of 24 mothers that came over died, leaving children's orphans. Only four of the original 12 unattached men In other words, teenagers that came with them, only 4 of the 12 unmarried men survived. They were decimated in that first winter. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't the pilgrims that invited the Indians and said, "Hey, come on over. We'll have turkey and mashed potatoes." The Indians noticed these people. And they were in such bad shape, the pilgrims, that the Indians actually felt sorry for them. And so they said, "We got to help these people." Isn't it interesting that the ancestors of the pilgrims will steal their land, but they were going to help? They taught them how to grow crops. Who did it? The Indians. And guess what happened? The first year's crop, wheat crop, failed. Only the corn did well. But you know what they decided to do? It shows you that they don't make men and women like this anymore. The pilgrims, or the saints, decided to celebrate the first year there of survival based on Psalm 107 and Leviticus chapter 7. They declared it a thanksgiving. But they didn't have enough to eat. But what they did have, they invited the Indians to partake in. The great Indian chief, Massasoit, came over with 90 Indians, bringing not pumpkin pie, but things that the pilgrims could eat. And what did they want to do? Have freedom of worship and bring the gospel to the Indians. But it really wasn't a thanksgiving, because before they celebrated the dinner, guess what they did? They declared 3 days of prayer and fasting. Now, can you imagine? After all of that starving, before they ate Thanksgiving, they declared 3 days of prayer and thanksgiving, thanking God for His mercy that they survived the first winter. That's the real story of the pilgrims. Today it's become a very shallow presentation of a dinner and then go to Walmart at 6 o'clock. How much we don't realize our ancestors suffered so that we can worship freely. And now the government is encroaching more and more on the rights of people to worship. Get ready, Christians. Get ready. It was on November the 26th, 1789, that President George Washington declared Thanksgiving. But then Lincoln, in the midst of the Civil War, took it from the third Thursday of November and made it the fourth so that we could have Black Friday on the next day. And what is interesting here in Psalm 107 is that the Puritans were great preachers. And they would always state doctrine first. No poems, no poetry, no "give me a good story, Pastor Dave." They preached doctrine first. And then application. And here are the four applications, and I'm going to close with this. The four applications of this psalm that the pilgrims preached. Number one, they said this psalm teaches reverence for God. God's ways are not our ways. His purposes are beyond our understanding. Nonetheless, we must trust and honor Him. Two, don't look at the temporal, look at the eternal. Life has ups and downs. Thank God for both of them. That's hard. That is hard. The third thing they said that this psalm teaching is sinners need to repent. And the church must be active in calling upon people to come to know the Lord and to repent. We saw that in Sunday school today, didn't we? Fourth, that Christians should always thank God for not only what he does, but for who he is. Not only when things are good, but when things are bad. And they said the mark of spirituality that is mature is to give thanksgiving for the hard times as well as the good. Now let the preacher pause and say, I have to give myself not too good a grades there as a professor. Because it is hard to thank God when things aren't going right. And I don't do so well sometimes. So I don't know if, as a professor, I could give myself good grades. But that's what this psalm calls to do. To be thankful to God and to trust him. And as we sang this morning, I guess the psalm is saying, trust and obey. And that's the story of the pilgrims. More guts than I ever had to come all the way over here to worship freely, to suffer what they did, to starve and yet turn around and thank God that they survived. I know what they would do today, not the pilgrims, but what people would do today. They would protest the government because they haven't supplied enough what's those cards called? Huh? EBT cards. I never knew what those were until... And they say that in America, if they ever have a hack on the EBT system, stay in your home. Because if that system goes down, there will be crowds wandering through the neighborhood seeking a handout if that system goes down. But they thank God for all of that. Those were tough people. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.